You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome back into the Locked On Pacers podcast. First time since you heard me be all sad and Adam be very happy about the Pacers draft pick. We're going to talk more about that stuff today with a more subdued reactions. And of course, we can't do that without both of us being here. So on the other line is Adam Friedman. Adam, how are you, man?
Pretty good. Are we starting with draft stuff? Can we start with the draft stuff?
What do you want to start with if we don't start with draft stuff?
Well, so I want to start with draft stuff because I just want to say that so I was not prepared for the Pacers.
Plug your piece first.
Okay, so I wrote a piece for Indy Cornrows, obviously, on Aaron Holiday. So, to be honest, on Thursday night, I was not prepared for the Pacers to take Aaron Holiday. I thought for sure he was going to go 21 to the Jazz, and they would have Grayson Allen. I thought that was kind of a logical flip, to be honest. I don't know if you thought that, but I sort of thought that was a possibility. But it ended up falling that way, whatever it was. So I didn't know a ton about Holiday. I just knew what sort of I'd read when we'd done our podcast. But, like, I hadn't gone super in-depth on him. But now, after watching some videos and stuff like that, I think – where you're a little bit more pessimistic on his defense than it's actually going to be.
Interesting. Outside of his length, I still see no reason to think he'll ever be a good defender ever.
So two reasons I would say that. One, is as a point guard, how good a defender do you have to be, really, right? How many point guards in the league are good? How many? I mean, how many good defenders?
If you look at the final four teams in the NBA this year, they all had either good defensive starting point guards or Stephen Curry on their team.
But James Harden's not a good defender.
Thank God they had Chris Paul.
But James Harden, not a good defender. George Hill is an okay defender when he's healthy.
Yes. The Celtics had Marcus Smart.
But Kyrie really is the point guard. He of the best point guards. So you take the best eight point guards in the NBA. It's what? Kyrie, Kyrie, Steph, Ross, Harden, Wall.
Harden, not a point guard.
Well, he has a point guard in the Houston offense. Chris Paul is the sixth. I mean, Russ isn't a great defender. Kyrie isn't a great defender. Damian Lillard isn't a great defender. I mean, on a list of guys who are awesome offensive.
I think Dame and Curry are the only two that have blown enough offense up that it doesn't matter.
So you think Russ is still a negative on the court no matter what?
Russ is a terrible defender and is a really good offensive player.
Yeah, no, and but as a guard too, you can pretty much hide your guard on the worst defender on a team most of the time. Or worst offensive player, sorry. Right? Most of the time.
Yeah, it worked really great with Joe Young.
No, but what I'm trying to draw a parallel to is that you talked about TJ Leaf, which I completely understand that bad defender wasn't ready. But the thing is with a power forward, you can't really hide your power forward on the worst offensive player because if it's a guard, he gets beat no matter what. But you can hide your guard on the worst offensive player on a team, and he can still be a positive on offense. And as a point guard, you don't have to be great at defense. You have to have just some positive attributes, and his long arms, it might be enough to sort of swing him to be at least a neutral on D, and if he's good at shooters, it looks like he is, then he'll be fine.
People wanted to start Corey Joseph over Collison because of his defense, like halfway through the year.
Yeah, but I think didn't we decide like immediately when Collison came back, that's not the right.
Well, I was always team Collison on that too, though.
Well, I think
we were both
like Joseph's a really good defender and he's the end games, but Collison is so good on the offense that it really
props him up.
Yeah, it props him up. And I'm not saying Aaron Holiday is going to be like a top eight point guard, but I'm saying to play on the court, all he has to do is have some neutral defensive ability, which his long arms make him better than Collison on defense just because he can do more things. And then on the offensive end, he seems pretty talented, and that should be what should carry him, at least play backup minutes for a little while and maybe become a starter in 2 or 3 years.
I think he can shoot really well. I think he's an okay passer, not great. I think he has long arms, and that is the extent of things that I like about Aaron Holiday. Still, after watching him, I even watched his best game of the year against USC where he had 35 points, and he scored a lot really well, but he did not play very good defense. I'm not enamored by this dude still. I mean, I've given myself time to like relax and be like, okay, like, yes, he could certainly be better than I'm saying, but I still don't ever consider him being very high. I mean, his turnover rate was crazy bad.
But then you also look at his value at 23. There's not – I don't think there's a guy picked after him that you're going to say this guy's better than this guy
in two or three years.
I don't think there's that many. I mean, there's a – maybe you're talking about Jalen Brunson. That's it.
Jacob Evans, Robert Williams.
I think Williams you can't count because they're not going to take – he's a center. They're not going to take Williams. They have too many centers.
But there's still guys that
I think there's very few guys after 23 you're going to look at and be like,
Shamit. I would have rather had Shamit than Aaron Holiday. Here, that's one.
That's it.
Fight me. I love Shamit.
But you look at Holiday's offensive skill set, his 3-point shooting is incredible, and that's what keeps guys on the court in the NBA now.
Yeah, he's a great
catch. Just shoot threes, and he is a great – I mean, just from the video, a great catch-and-shoot player. He
can stay on the court.
I mean, this guy could seriously be shooting 40% from three and hit 4 or 5 a game at some point. I mean, that's how good he seemed like.
That's the goal. That's certainly the goal.
And he seemed like on defense where he – it was, some of it felt like it was coaching in some sense, where, like, he was being – he at least would overcommit at times on defense is what I noticed a lot, and he sort of – didn't have the speed to stay up with guys. But if you threw him sort of in the position of being on the worst offensive player on a team and let him do kind of a roaming thing like he did with Oladipo, you could get some of the same success as a guy who's sort of cutting off passing with his long arms and he's forcing turnovers, which is something on defense, which is better than like Collison, who really he was kind of hiding all the time.
I hope he could be that guy. I don't think he can be, but I hope he could be that guy.
But plus also with the I'm not sure, you know, I think you're thinking that they need to get like a – which they maybe need a top 5 point guard to win a championship, but I'm not sure that they do as long as they have Oladipo out there.
I do not agree with that assessment.
So then what do you think he has to be for the Pacers for him to start and him be worth the pick? What's like the level he has to reach?
He has to become an above-average passer, which he's not even close.
But that's something you can coach with too.
Maybe. It'll take a while. He has to be an average defender, not even close. And he does not need to turn over the ball over 20% of his possessions. That's horrible. I took away a stat page and pulled up Elise Johnson, so I can't regurgitate stats anymore. But yeah, there's not a lot of stuff. I love his 3-pointer. Like that could, you're right. That could keep him on the court, but like here's what I think is going to happen this year. Here's what I'll take a step further. Here's what I guarantee happens this upcoming season. I think this dude shoots pretty well and scores a ton of points and then sucks at everything else. But he scores a lot of points his rookie year, and everyone's like, see, Tony, like, look at this. He's so good. I'm like, God, scoring a lot. That's all he's doing. It's going to drive me crazy. I think he could get to being almost average on D at his peak, but it's going to take a while.
Okay, but also, he's not expected this season or maybe in Tuesday night to be a starter. He at least has a redshirt year because he's really the third point guard on this team.
I bet he plays like 600 minutes tops this year.
Well, I mean, we don't know. Somebody could get hurt and he could end up playing the backup role. But also off the bench, I don't know if he has to be – you know, the bench units aren't supposed to be like some awesome defensive unit, whatever. He has to just go out there and score a lot and sort of just keep basically toe for toe. It's sort of a bench's job is just not lose your lead or whatever.
And we have to remember this too. This is not just because he's pick 23. This is every rookie point guard ever. They all suck. Unless your name's Chris Paul or Magic Johnson and you're a rookie point guard, you suck. Like that's all it is. And this year is going to be tough for him, and we have to keep that in mind. But like at his peak, I think is what we need to focus on, or like, not his peak, but when he's a rotation player, you know, what kind of guy are you going to get?
And I think a lot of what you're talking about is things that can be coached out of him in some sense, where he can become a better, more focused defender with the right coaching and the right sort of focus on and ability to sort of not get lost on defense and not get kind of jumpy. I don't know how to put it, but like flying around at a rate that's just ridiculous where his body can keep up with him. And I think he can become a better passer. I understand that's an issue, but
that's a scary thing to me. Like turning it over against college dudes is super concerning.
Yeah, and especially UCLA, which was in the Pac-12, which is a terrible competition.
Yeah.
Pac-12 was
terrible. Yeah, okay. Remember that, by the way. The Pac-12 sucked this year, so him making alt defense really isn't that crazy.
No, I wrote that. The Pac-12's best player was him and DeAndre Ayton, and the next best point guard didn't play the year because he got suspended.
Yeah.
Or didn't
held out. Melton was way better at defense. Yeah, that is a stupid thing to say.
Yes, no, I agree. I just think his length is so like Collison has got a 6'3 wingspan, and this guy has a 6'7 wingspan, and that's something you can't underrate.
Saving grace as being possibly competent. I've conceded as much as that.
I mean, what isn't Rondo's 6'9? He's 6'1, right? That's the right name for
Rondo. Ron.
I'm just saying, not that he's Rondo's level, but that's that kind of length at arm length really helps on defense. It really helps when you don't have the speed to beat a guy up front because you can reach around in the back end and force turnovers or be off the ball cutting off passing lanes. And I think he has that peak ability to at least be that player because I think the level for a point guard defensively is so much lower to be good as long as you're so good on offense, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I just don't think he'll get also so good on offense. Like
I think he has that ability. He's just
he's got to be able to beat guys off the dribble, and we'll see about that.
I agree with that, but he's such a good pull-up shooter that he should be able to sort of you know, off the dribble kind of moves,
good.
Throw defenders off. You know, I was watching a little bit of CJ McCollum's game. Not that, and that kind of 3-point ability sort of reminds me of that kind of guy who can just sort of catch the ball immediately and throw it up. He's got a pretty quick release if you watch him too. I mean, he's got a couple things just on the offense that's just sort of like elite level offensively 3-point shooting, motion, shot making, whatever it is on that end.
I was trying to think of a good comp while you said that sentence and I couldn't do it.
Like I think McCollum type of shooting is sort of similar to me. McCollum,
don't get that good at shooting.
No, but I mean, I'm saying that's kind of where he could be because McCollum, if you watch, doesn't beat guys with his speed. He's just got a really good handle. I mean, McCollum is
nasty handle.
Nasty handle. And that's how he beats guys. And I don't know if Holiday has that handle yet, but it's something you can kind of develop as you practice more. And I bet going against guys like Victor Oladipo in the practice teams will kind of help him because Oladipo is just a crazy good defender, I bet. And if he's guarding Holiday, he's going to make life hell for him.
My favorite comp I've come up with myself for Aaron Holiday is Jameer Nelson's career arc.
Which is Jameer Nelson was the starting point guard on NBA Finals team.
Yes, which is fine. But, you know, like for if he becomes Jameer Nelson, that's great. Jameer Nelson was really good for like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, and I like I said, this is all projecting because these rookies you never know. But I just think at 23, he was the best value you're going to look back at. You'll be like, you know what? Maybe there was a guy in the 40s, but those guys in the 40s don't get picked in the first round and –
I think there are 5 guys or 6 guys that I think will almost for sure be better than him.
See, I don't think you can say that for sure. I think that's a really bold statement to make. 5 guys for sure. How many guys in the 20s, 30s, or 40s even playing in the league in 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, well, he's in the 20s, so I throw him in that group. But yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of guys that I like a lot in that group.
Plus, you say his floor might be Joe Young, right? That's sort of what you're thinking of.
I hope. I mean, I think the fact that they already are going to play him over Joe Young is encouraging. That's good.
His shooting is better than Joe Young was in college, though.
Yeah, a lot of people's were. Joe Young was actually not that good of a shooter in college. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I mean, no, it's not. I mean, you watch him play, he's really not that good of a shooter. He's not that crazy. He's second-round pick.
He was opposite of Holiday on offense. Honestly, he was a good scorer and not a great shooter. Joe Young, that's his NBA stats. I thought I typed in his college stats.
I want to say that one.
So familiar.
I want to say with Aaron Holiday, too, is having 2 NBA brothers is a positive in a sense that he probably knows what it takes to be in the league. Which is something you can't underestimate as a guy willing to work his way and understanding what the work it takes. I don't know if he'll do it actually, but because his brother's in the league, he obviously has probably been around NBA players, been around teams, whatever. He's probably been this good for 5 or 6 years. Now he's playing with got the Lonzo Ball this year. So he's probably been a popular guy and has been to his brother's locker room and stuff like that. He knows what it takes to sort of be in the NBA. So that sort of helps. And he's pretty developed too for a college because he had 3 years of college. He is not like Leaf, who was 1 year and still very thin and he's put on more muscle. Holiday's basically there. Now it's just kind of – he has kind of the weight and the strength that's getting to the kind of the next, like, technical level.
I hope he's got all that. We'll find out the fun way. I expect him to dominate Summer League, though. That will be fun to watch.
And I think he has a redshirt year to develop stuff, and so it'll be good.
That will be helpful.
You know, he has no expectation this year. There's nothing on him that says you have to play.
I agree. I hope that people remember that. He has no expectation to contribute this year. I honestly expect him and Edmund Sumner to contribute the same amount this year.
Yeah, are you sure Sumner's going to be the fourth guard on this team?
Probably Sam is 2A and be the injury assurance fourth point guard, yeah.
Yeah, right, because are we counting Lance as a guard for next year?
Yeah, well, maybe.
All right, so that's a good transition, right?
Look at you, Adam. Look at you with the transition. We're not going to talk about Elise Johnson at all.
Let's go to the end because I want to talk about him and Leaf, but we can do it at the end.
Okay. I like that idea. Yes, Lance Stephenson, whose team option has still not been picked up, which is probably nothing. And my gut still says he's back. But you don't know. And we got some, I don't know if the word is cryptic or not, comments from Kevin Pritchard in the post-draft press conference. He said, I have the exact quote, he said, "That is what this is set up to do. When we traded Paul and brought in Victor and Domas, part of that whole equation was being able to set up $20 million in cap space on July 1st. So when you hear $20 million in cap space, I don't know if he's just like estimating or if he, you know, part of the front office plan is that they have $20 million coming up this summer, but that would require some dudes to be gone who are on the team right now.
So do you have do you want me to say the two ways they get $20 million?
There's only two, and one is no Al, no Lance, and the other is no Thad, right? That's it?
Basically, then you're talking about Joe Young maybe and Joe Young's 1.6 gone, and then they could probably
throw him
in there. Half guarantee, whatever it is.
Poythress is gone.
That's over.
Yeah. Fun era. Thanks. Thank you for your time, sir.
What do you keep playing like three games? Like he played that one Detroit game when he actually played just some minutes, right?
Yeah, he played really well. He was like a plus 15 and a 30-point loss or something.
So right, if you take young Lance Poitras off the team, so we assume it's if Young leaves, Lance is back, right? That's sort of like opts out.
Sorry for yawning. The Lance stuff has been weird. Like I feel like I keep seeing signs that point to him being gone, but I really doubt it. I just really doubt it.
So we had the conversation, and this is we had over text, was at $4.3 million, there are very few guys who can play in the rotation you get for that cheap. And that's kind of the issue with Lance. Maybe he's not quite good enough to be in rotation, but he's so cheap and he's a decently like – he can not be in rotation. He could be kind of the guy in case someone gets hurt, insurance policy, I guess, that it's hard to find a guy for that cheap, for that little money to play in a rotation.
I think you can get tons of better players for cheaper, but that's not the point. The point is that he is the Pacers fans. Like they got to put people in the seats, and I just don't think there's a way that they'll let that guy leave.
So who are you getting for cheaper?
You
had a couple names. Give me the couple names you had.
I gave you Ian Clark already.
So Ian Clark good at? What does he do?
He's a good shooter. He can dribble. He doesn't turn the ball over as much as Lance. He's almost as good of a defender as Lance. He can really handle it in the pick and roll. I like Ian Clark. Let me pull up my salary sheet and find some minimum guards.
So, right, what would Ian Clark's salary be, though? I thought you said it might be more like minimum 6 or 7, right?
Not a chance. Minimum. He makes more than that, than more than $2 million.
$2 million, really? You think? Well, I thought he had a decent year in New Orleans, no?
He was fine. But no, not he wasn't even close to $7 million. Fine, Thad Young might get at most $8.5 million. I don't know.
So you've now kind of turned because I thought you thought that was at 10. You've kind of turned to a more pessimistic side of the salary cap because there's so little.
Been lower than most guys. Jameer Nelson, a minimum guy, ironically, who I think would be better.
So just so you know, Ian Clark shot 2% better on three on the year than Lance Stephenson.
Yes, he was poor from three this year. He's also injured his wrist this year. If you look at his other seasons when he was playing two guard, not point guard, he was much better as a shooter.
Okay. Defensive rating was miserable. Lance's was much better.
Yes, team stats, my favorite.
Well, I mean, New Orleans is a bad defensive team, but he had a pretty bad defensive rating still.
Yes, player. Team stat.
But was New Orleans defense any better than the Pacers?
That doesn't matter. It's a team stat that's reflective of the other guys on the court at the same time.
Yeah, but he was playing lineups with what? Anthony Davis, Jrue Holiday, one defensive player of the year.
He never shared the court. He was his backup. Boy.
You sure he wasn't playing? He wasn't playing any minutes with Jrue Holiday, who played like 38 minutes.
I have no idea how many minutes they played.
am certain they overlapped for some because he played 23, and no way Holiday only played 25.
Glenn Robinson, guy at the minimum, who I think is better than Lance, ironically.
See, I think you're too pessimistic on Lance just because how many games did Lance actually win for the Pacers? Two or three, right?
Two.
And how many do you think Ian Clark can win for the Pacers?
I don't know, but how many games did Lance lose for the Pacers? I mean,
top of my mind, the Dallas one, right?
Yeah, picture every game that he was like crazy bad and they barely lost.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking the Dallas game was the really one he actually lost. The rest were just like he was bad and so was everybody else.
So much better at home because he like has the crowd backing him and he's not afraid to like be himself and stuff. And you know, that's important. Like, if he could play like that all the time, he'd be more effective. But on the road, sometimes he just is so bad.
I think you're just a little too high on Ian Clark, to be honest.
You're too hung up on Ian Clark. I'm trying to name more guys.
I know. I want some more names. Throw me some names.
Have been throwing you names while you've been going and going.
Throw me some names. Sorry.
Sean Kilpatrick.
Okay. That's the former
I like Sean Kilpatrick.
Guy out of UC.
He was? I didn't know that.
Then you went to Cincinnati, 100%. I remember
him. He did go to Cincinnati. That's absolutely right.
See, I can pull these kind of facts out of my head.
I forgot about that. I don't know why I forgot about that. It's so hard. I need to sort this so I don't have all these rookies on here.
What do you think? James Ennis, okay. You've been high on him, though, for God knows how long.
For forever, yes. That is correct.
Ennis and Kilpatrick still about the $2 million minimum? Or are they making more than that, you think?
Really about there.
You don't think Kilpatrick gets anything offered from Chicago's
going to
go a different direction. Yeah, no, they're going a different direction.
I'll get in front of you here. No.
Can I throw out another name?
Mario Hezonja, is that your name?
Well, I was going to say, what about like Tyreke Evans?
Oh, he's going to get way more.
Well, Tyree's going to get, what, 8 or 9, right?
Yeah.
But if you get rid of Lance, that's the kind of move you get rid of Lance to make that kind of move, I think.
Yes, that makes sense.
Using your cap space, that's improving. I'm not sure you get rid of Lance to go after a guy like Ian Clark, where you're saving $2 million for a guy.
I'm not suggesting that. No, I'm not suggesting
okay.
that. I think you get Ian Clark. You can keep Lance on the team. You get Ian Clark for the minimum at the end of free agency to be a way better fifth guard than Lance.
Yeah, but then you keep Lance in your bag and play him only home games.
Yes, that would be great. That would be awesome.
Which is sort of my point. At like $4 million, he's so cheap, it's almost not worth gearing him. He's just so cheap.
Yeah, you cut him and re-sign him for the minimum. Bam!
Can you do that? I thought if you get rid of player option, you can't re-sign a guy.
And decline a team option. I don't know actually about team options. Dang, didn't we have this discussion before? I've screwed this up before.
I'm pretty sure if the team declines the option, they can't re-sign him. That's the problem.
Rats. I don't know how that works.
You have to wait a year. You have six, whatever. Maybe the December line. You have to wait so long.
Ooh, here's a guy making $4.5 million next year who's about as good as Lance, Justin Holiday.
Oh, wow. That might go well.
Hey, that would be fun.
No, I mean, the other way, too, to get $20 million in space, theoretically, is Jefferson Connor again and drop Thad to give him a 3-year, $29 million deal. And you get to get to about 20 again.
Yes.
So let's talk about Thad for a minute, too. I think we
hung up on Lance there. Also, with that Lance thing, just assume that Al's gone. I mean, when it happens is when it happens, but
yeah. Al's gone. He's just made too much money to keep. Unless you really make no moves, he's too much money to keep.
Right. I don't think they'll make no moves.
So with Thad, we've had some cryptic tweets and stuff like that. On his 30th birthday, a tweet by his wife said 30 is the new 20, something like that. Cryptic stuff. It seemed like he's opting out, right?
I don't know if we can corroborate that this is actually a Pacers advance scout.
Yeah, I don't believe that. There's like that guy's like 40 followers. Like
I don't know. I don't know. He has 71 followers, but I don't know.
It's because he tweeted.
Probably got him today. Yeah, probably got him today.
Because I don't think, first of all, would a scout be tweeting what Pritchard wants? Because unless the Pacers want that out like that, there wouldn't be tweeting that out because that's how you get fired.
Yeah, right? Thad Young will most likely decline his player option.
That's the fast way to get fired. Tweeting things that are without your boss's permission.
That's what happens in 2K. That's like the storyline of 2K.
So if Thad opts out, I think actually a decent replacement for a little bit less than he costs might be Grant from Oklahoma City.
Yes, we both like Jeremy Grant.
So you look at them actually in 16, 17, and 16, they both kind of had a similar arc. Thad had more points than ever. But in terms of shooting percentage, where Grant in 2016-17 had a 37-38% three-point shooting, and then it dropped to 29. Thad had the same thing where he was like 30. I think it was 38, and then dropped to 32, where you think they can shoot the three, but they both do similar things on defense, and Young's a little bit more polished because he's older. But you might go with Grant because he's cheaper and younger, and he can provide a little more spark, and you can play more Sabonis. Like you were
another guy, too, I kind of like for spot minutes if Thad's gone, it's Ilyasova.
Do you think he doesn't re-sign with
I don't know what's going to happen in Philly because they want to save all that as much space as they can.
Yeah, but this Kawhi stuff's not going to happen until like late July, it feels like.
Yeah, they're not saving for Kawhi.
Oh, we go after PG, you mean?
Yeah. Sorry, I keep you on it. I was out in the sun all day. Whew.
And yeah, 5:45, Tony. You already go to bed. He's an old man.
Good Lord. Golfing just in the sun is just brutal. Someone like that. You know, I think we're all on the same page on we want a Thad-like guy. It's just Thad's money's too much. So bringing back Thad on cheaper money is fine, or someone like him. You know, that's the deal.
It just seems like if he's going to – I mean, we'll know by the end of the week because they'll re-sign him immediately if he opts out, if they're going to keep him. But if not, like if he opts out and doesn't sign for 3 or 4 days after this July 1st day, then it's going to – he's not coming back, it means.
Right.
He's looking for other deals and the – relationship has been severed, all that means.
Yeah, and I mean, we all know what's happening, right? Like, we all are it's very clear that Thad wants long-term money, and the Pacers are not willing to give it to him.
Because they want to play the bonus and turn together, which, you know, it's risky, and it didn't work that well last year. I think you've said that before, but it could – I mean, the idea is it could work. It could work. It's going to work.
They were in year one of it, and what was it, like 500 minutes, not even?
They played in the playoffs together more, it felt like, and they still weren't that good.
You'd look back at last year and be like, Joe Young didn't play that much, and Joe Young played 500 minutes. Like 500 minutes is nothing. It takes more time than that to work out. It'll take time.
It would take time, and it's going to take Sabonis hopefully developing a 3-point shot to really,
or one of them learning to defend on the perimeter. And I just read some, I think it was in Indy Star, about Miles practicing that this summer. That's awesome. If that's the case, that'd be great.
Yeah, and Sabonis is still, thinner than he's going to be. Sabonis had a for a guy who, look at Sabonis' father, for example. Sabonis was not as strong as he's going to be in the next couple of years.
Right,
he's going to get a lot bigger because you can see in this frame that he's getting stronger, but he's still kind of pretty thin overall for a guy who's going to probably be like, I don't know what he weighs, but he's going to have for a 6'11 dude, he's going to be a lot bigger and be able to body out guys even more because he seemed like smaller than a lot of centers out there, but he has the kind of aggressiveness that you need to box people out, but he does get the weight behind it now.
Right. I agree. I just lost what I was going to say. Yeah, and Domas kind of had his rookie year, quote unquote, as a center this past season. You know,
yeah, because his second year too. The first year as an NBA player, you don't have to do anything. The second, you have to prove something, and he proved that he was at least able to be in the league.
Right, he proved that he could play center. He was good enough to play center, and he could be a starting center for a lot of teams. So you know that's how they balance that, and Thad works his way into that equation.
So Sabonis is listed as 250. And his dad listed at 290. Now, his dad is 7'3". That's 5 inches on him. Sabonis is 6'10". But his dad was 290, which means there's probably room for 5 or 10 more pounds of muscle there, at least.
That's huge. I can't believe that guy that big could shoot.
Well, he was 7'3". I mean, that's...
That's wild.
But I'm saying Sabonis is going to be, I think, in the 260 range, 265 range, and that's when he's really going to start to be a more dominant rebounding center too, because he's able to box guys out and use his body and throw his weight around a lot more.
Yeah. I hope so. That'd be great.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. And we kind of can talk about the backup center stuff because Pritchard also talked about how he expects TJ Leaf to play this year. Did you hear that part?
I did not hear that part.
Yes. I think that was the exact quote. They expect Leaf. I don't remember if he said more or not, but I think they expect TJ Leaf to play more this year.
Well, I like Leaf. I think he has a chance to have a decent year, actually.
I hope so.
I think about it.
It's got to all come on D for him because we know he can kind of play on offense.
I don't know. I think he has to actually be a consistent scorer before he has to be like some superb defensive player. I think he's going to be a backup. So like, I think he's just got to go out there and score and say, I belong in this court because I can score with these guys. Now I'll find the defense kind of thing.
It'd be hard to run sets for him to prove he's a scorer.
Yeah, no, and that's the problem that's the problem we have with Turner, too, is that he's in a spot where he has to get the ball in the right position to score, and they're not going to run that many offensive plays for him.
Right, that'd be forcing it, basically.
But, I mean, you got to do that sometimes to develop guys, to be honest, is force them to shoot, right? I mean,
Summer League, baby. That's a huge thing for TJ Leaf. If he dominates Summer League, that is a huge sign for him.
Plus, I don't think we know how much bigger he's going to be this year.
He plays Summer League.
Remember, Leaf was 19 when he got drafted. I mean, he was younger than both of us. He was a freshman out of college. I mean, he was thin, and I wonder if he'll be any bigger. We'll see something in that, maybe. See a little more size, weight on him.
Right.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing with rookies is just putting on more muscle your first couple years to be able to really compete with, especially when you're a power forward.
Porzingis. Like, if he can get the Porzingis kind of growth.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
How skinny KP was at first.
Yeah, but KP could just score buckets.
Oh, for sure. But he was so thin.
But like Leaf's biggest selling point was like, oh, this guy's got like real touch around the rim and he can hit threes. And he's got like this really polished offense. It doesn't matter, you know, if he gets bigger, he'll play defense. But right now he's just going to be able to score on dudes. And he just wasn't able to do that last year at all, it felt like.
Yeah, he could shoot from three really well.
But he fought a step slower than everybody else.
Albeit only on 42 attempts. He shot well from three. He finished at the rim really nice, 61%. So the rest is just doing it himself instead of being set up.
Yeah, and he also remember, didn't he dominate in the G League?
Yeah, he scored quite a few.
So his offensive game is, I think he just felt like he was a step behind. And I don't know whether that was speed or mental, just not being processing the game yet to the way he needed to process it. You know, I mean, not like understanding where to be at the right moment to get the pass from somebody or whatever it was.
Yeah, 23.3 points on 18 shots in the G League.
Yeah, I mean, he cleared like,
wow.
You saw that in college. He could score. He almost went like in the lottery. I mean, he actually fell to 18 was what happened. I mean, he thought he was supposed to go 14 or 12.
I thought he was supposed to go like 25.
I thought there was Denver talking to him at 14.
I don't remember very well.
I remember that because what happened was like right before the draft, Kennard just shot up. Like Kennard was going to be in the 20s, and then he just shot up to like what?
Do you remember that?
And Leaf was one of the guys who was like, in the first mock draft, like 10, and then he was like, Denver was like supposed to be a team interested in him, and then he kind of fell to 18.
Interesting.
I
don't remember that the same. I don't remember, though.
I don't know. I have a pretty good memory, so I think I remember it that way.
TJ Leaf never turns it over, so he has a chance. He just got to put it on.
Yeah, and I think if he plays Summer League, which I don't know why he wouldn't, I guess, unless he's we'll see right away whether he sort of has the size to compete. He's got to be able to do that.
Of Pacers Summer League power forwards. The nice worst one. Transition of my life.
You had a nice one into Leaf.
I did have a nice one into Leaf, but the one out of Leaf into Elise Johnson was not so good. Do you even think this guy's on the Pacers roster this season before we move into what I expect of him at all?
So, right, I'm keeping Lance on the team, taking Poitras and both Youngs off. That gives the Pacers 11 players.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Sumner's 12.
He has a chance to get that two-way slot. I don't know what they're thinking with him.
Right, I'm assuming EK's on the team also. Yeah,
for sure. I agree.
So that leaves them with four roster spots. So that's 11 guys, four roster spots, and something like $15 million plus exceptions.
Right. He'll get the minimum, of course, if he is on the team. So no worries about the cap space with him.
Actually, no. Then if you take Youngs, it's $20 million space for four guys.
So that's the question is, you know, what can he do in summer league? Will he even make the team? He was a good shooter his freshman year, but not his sophomore year. But he was a nasty rebounder both years, and actually a pretty good scorer. He could finish. So he grew like a foot, like randomly. Like he graduated college at like 5'11" or something. I gotta look into this story, or high school. Sorry, I gotta look into this story more. But I don't know if he'll be on the team or not. But a lot of people really like his tools, and that intrigues me.
Yeah, I don't know why he wouldn't be on the team. Like, why would you draft a guy?
Second round picks. I don't know. Edmund Sumner wasn't on the team, basically.
Was Sumner undrafted?
No, they picked Sumner 52.
What, 2 years ago?
No, last year. Remember, they bought the pick.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're right. They did buy the pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be right.
The Pacers do like to keep their second rounders. That's the thing going for him.
There's
going to
be roster spots. I mean, if Thaddeus comes back, he's for sure on the roster because they just take the extra spot.
Well, they had Yang and they kept Christmas and they seem to keep their seconds a lot.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't keep him for a year. I understand, you know, 2 years, 3 years down the road, whatever. But for a year, they kept Yang for a year. Like, why would you keep him for a year?
You get the same kind of contract as EK because then if he turns out good, you have him as a restricted free agent and with bird rights after 3 years.
Yeah, so I bet he's on the roster for.
But yeah, why not? A three-year deal, and all of it's non-guaranteed except the first year.
do you think Sumner is back on this team?
On a two-way, the same because he has a two-year two-way deal right now.
Okay, that's right.
And like I would have thought, kind of maybe Aaron Holiday's deal screws with that, but I mean they liked him enough to draft him last year, so I bet they just give him a chance.
Okay, I mean that's fair. I just think because they're gonna get rid of Joe Young, right? We assume he's gone.
Yeah, I think he's gone. He's 27 next year.
So you keep five guards usually, right?
Yep.
Most teams do. So if you don't count Lance as a guard, he's your fifth. Sumner's your fifth guard.
Yep.
So, all right.
Injury. Right. So I think that's what's gonna happen. So I think Elise could get that other two way too with Sumner, and I think the G League could be great for a guy like him who's kind of unproven. But
yeah, I mean he'll probably spend a lot of the G League just like EK did.
They were so close to getting our boy Bates D up with 50. That would have been insane.
Yeah, why did Bates D up fall so far?
I don't know. That grade got picked an A by like every freaking grading pick. First of all, grading picks the day after the draft.
Stupidest thing on earth.
Stupidest thing ever by a bajillion miles. It's basically just did he get picked before or after our mock draft said. Hate it. Anyway.
Especially because think about it. Michael Porter was an A, but if his spine is really like jelly donuts, then doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It's an F. He can't play.
Yeah, he doesn't play in the NBA.
And you're paying him $4 million to do nothing.
Yeah, so, you know, it doesn't matter what the grade says, but I would give that pick an A because I thought he was good and he got picked 48th.
Like, but what if his spine is jelly donuts?
I'm talking about Bates Diop.
Oh, okay. I'm like, if Michael Porter's spine is jelly donuts, it doesn't matter where he got picked. It's going to be bad.
He could be your 2020 rookie of the year. That's so annoying.
Can't wait till Ben Simmons wins that. Are those this week? The awards are this week, right?
The awards are Monday. Adam, we have content for Wednesday.
All right, good.
I'm glad you all got to hear my
genuine answer. Vic got some top five votes. Just saying.
Yeah. Sorry. We'll talk about that in 2 seconds. But I don't know about Elise. We'll figure it out. But I expect him to play on the Summer League team, so be on the lookout for that. Yes, it's Monday. You're listening to the show. The award show is tonight, and Victor Oladipo is going to win Most Improved Player. How did I forget about that?
And I'm saying he might get some MVP votes.
Might get a few MVP votes. Oh, my gosh, I completely forgot about this. It's crazy that this is so far after the season. This is so stupid.
Well, it's the first year last year was the first year.
Last year was the first year. This is so dumb. They've got to do something about this.
Well, it was better when it was during the season playoffs.
It was before the playoffs. Yeah.
Because it was more in people's mind. Like not that I forgot about the NBA. That's not true. But, like, I was just thinking about it more. Like, I think about it more second round of the playoffs because of tradition.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that will be cool. We can talk about Wednesday, all the results of those, see if we get anything else from the Pacers front.
It's weird because they do the all-NBA teams right in the second round of the playoffs. That's it.
And all-rookie teams, yeah.
All-rookie teams. And all-defensive teams, too?
Yep. All the teams are early.
Because those count for contract extension supermaxes.
Yes, they are.
Well, Defensive Player of the Year does, too, apparently.
It does. Defensive Player of the Year does, and there's one other one I can't remember.
I wonder if that will be told early with Draymond's contract next year.
But you know that one already.
I wonder with Draymond's contract next year whether, you know, if he's in contract for whether that's told in like earlier so they can know whether they can.
Well, he's been on NBA the last 2 years, so he's eligible either way.
You see, I thought he had to do it this year or next year for qualifying 2 years.
He made NBA two of the last three seasons, and he made it the last two. So even if he does it next year, he still has two out of three.
No, but. He didn't make it. Oh, he make it this season?
Yeah, he did. Didn't he?
Oh, okay. No, I thought he didn't. I thought he didn't make it this year. That was the issue.
Maybe he didn't. Maybe that's why I'm wrong.
He made it the two previous, but not 2017-18.
Year by year, all NBA teams. Let's see what NBA.com has to say. you're right. He did not make it this year. Never
so mind. He has to make it next year.
He has to make it next year. Yes.
But if he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, he'll make an all NBA team already, anyways.
Yeah, right.
Because that's
he's third team in 2016-17. Thank you. You're right.
That's crazy that he couldn't get that, even though he's been like
eligible all season for the extension version of it, but they did not offer it apparently.
Well, he had a pretty miserable playoffs and season.
Draymond Green?
Not a offensively. Sorry, like he was not at his peak sometimes this year. It felt like
miserable for him, man. That dude is amazing.
No, I mean, but like that's what I mean. Just compared to where he was like 2 years ago when they won 73 games, it was bad. 3-point shooting was bad this year.
Gosh, yeah. For his standards, it's rough.
Yes, that's all. I'm sorry. For a designated max extension player, it was bad.
Yeah. For the best defender in the NBA, it is what it is.
Yeah, but offensively, he just was...
Right, a dud.
Dud sometimes. Not afraid to shoot and see him in the playoffs a little bit, but it didn't matter because they've got two MVP candidates.
Two MVP candidates and Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
If they really get Dwight Howard, man...
No, he'll tank the team. Dwight Howard's like locked in cancer. He's not coming to Indiana, probably, hopefully, never.
He's not. That we're not even going to talk about it. You got anything else for today?
No, it sounds like we're going to do a podcast on Wednesday.
Talking about the NBA awards. Thank God for that. That helps us so much this week.
And then Friday, either it'll post Friday night or Saturday, something Freedom Primer once we figure out all the contract stuff.
Yes, Friday will be interesting because that is the 29th, and that is the day of Thad being due and Bojan being due and all this stuff. So
I would look for a pod to come out on Saturday. Listen to that day because then free agency starts that night at midnight. Yes, so then it'll be irrelevant. Could be irrelevant by Monday.
Free agent primer later in the week. You know what? Tweet at us some free agents you like. We might talk about them.
Yeah, give us some guys. We threw some out today, right? What I talked about.
Don't tweet Julius Randle at me because I'll get mad.
Right. We talked about Grant for a second.
We did Grant and Ariza, and I forget who else.
Yeah, I mean the guys to think about out there. Marcus Smart's out there. Jabari is out there. Randall's out there. Derek Favors could be out there. I don't know. There's a bunch of guys.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It will be fun. I got nothing else. I might do an Aaron Holiday film breakdown. Let me rephrase that. I'm doing an Aaron Holiday film breakdown. Finally got some of his games from Synergy, so that'll be awesome. But Adam will write his usual three great posts a week, I'm sure.
Yep, I got to keep it going.
There we go. That's all I got. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Lockdown Pacers podcast. A lot of fun stuff coming up. I'm sure you're going to hear Aaron Holiday's name come out of my mouth a million times. We'll see you guys Wednesday to talk about Victor Oladipo being the MIP because there's no way he doesn't win.
Unanimous.
Unanimous MIP. And yeah, enjoy your week.